Oh my god. We're all in love.
So look at the sweat. It's like a little fox, the tail.
This is not gonna go well. And this talk is probably just way too soft. Based on what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah. Look, she's
Shove my nose. I don't want that one up against the wall either. That's not fair.
He's trying to figure out whether it's a female right now.
Yeah.
This one's scared.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I would like to respect this one's wishes, actually, because she's telling us, hey, don't let me meet that big brute. I'm not into big brutes.
This is another intact male.
Who?
Oh. So what do you want to do?
I don't want to have them meet not here, not with, I mean, this one's too scary. It would be interesting to have her go, with the Roddy.
Come here.
So might be good.
Which one with the Roddy?
This one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because they're both a little reticent.
Yeah, they're both a little nervous. So. Look at
you.
Okay, so I'm going to just, you guys want to... He can't go in a crate. Could he go back in the does the truck have any air conditioning?
The truck, I think, is a little hot.
It's probably too hot? Okay.
Who's there? Do you want to tether him over here?
So that guy? It's not going to work.
Okay. We can talk to him.
They're not really doing the news.
Okay, so guys, make yourselves comfortable again. We're going to not do Mommy Dog Dog for a little bit. That nice calming cat for him. So if you want to all sit down again, we're just going to just start doing this guy. Nice and quiet. He's scared to death.
Stray surrender?
This was a stray.
Stray?
Yeah, brought him by a citizen.
And do you know how long he's been in the shelter?
I think his sister day was today, so he's been there 5 to 7 days, I would say.
Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to have him, I'm going to take him around to see if he's interested in checking you guys out a little bit, just to see if he can, if he wants to explore his environment. He may or may not want to. I don't know. I'm going to let it be up to him. But he's definitely scared. Want to go check this out? Can you both say hi? Hi.
Hey. 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 Oh.
See, everybody's falling in love.
Can you
see
you
want
to close?
Yes. Yes. What does he look like? He is.
He's a rat.
Look at his tail. He is a direct finger. Oh, that's a red finger. Well, you have to keep on going. He's got some skin. Okay. How about that? We want to get him. I can handle him a little bit, but I really want.
Oh, good boy. It's okay.
Good boy. That's it. That's a good boy.
So you guys are really seeing opposition reflex there, right? She pulled him, he said, no, I'm going back, and then she just loosened up, and he said, okay, so.
What do you think?
She, but you keep your nose to yourself.
How old did you think about him?
Oh
my goodness.
Wow, his gums, but he looks like he has
a baby.
Okay.
I know. Oh my god, this is a red box.
It looks like these three-ish are there, but ask them to stay over here. I think that the Rod has intentionally. He's a boy.
So also, what's really an advantage is when you're using a dog that you know, Aspen, if she was getting the heebie-jeebies, she wouldn't go near him, but she says he's sort of cute. So when you use a dog that you know, it really gives you an advantage because you know how your own dog is going to respond to other dogs.
I remember this from working at Shelter's.
I want this dog.
Let's see what happens if I do this. Aww. Needless to say, you can't be worried about getting dirty. No, that's going to happen.
Aspen, over this way.
Okay. There's food. So he's really tense, but he's feeling a little bit better.
He needs to name Rocket, Raccoon, and Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's what he looks like.
Yeah, he's Rocket. He's Rocket.
Yeah.
Rocket the Raccoon. Hey. It looks like he's like Border Collie healer mix.
Yeah.
Of course, just do a DNA on him and watch what he is. Aspen, you need to go back to your kennel.
But
I know who can be bought. Yeah. Come here, let's go in your kennel.
All right, so this is a dog that I probably would not do a startle or a recommend test on because he's already just kind of barely getting it together, right? But at the same time, what he's showing me by this kind of going back on me is that he is used to being with people and he's used to he's affectionate. I mean, he's not, I don't think he's being affectionate with me. What he's being is needy with me. But, oh, this was a bad idea.
Yeah.
I have a bum knee, so trying to get up is ridiculous. Okay, you want some water? You need water a bit? There's a little bit of water. Yes, yeah.
By the way, some little hints about, this is a breed that is very prone to separation issues, and he was a little uncomfortable in the crate and trying to get out for a little bit, although he did eventually settle. But, you know, it's just, you just, every minute you're with the dog, whether you're testing them or not, you're still taking in information.
Okay, so I'm going to complete the handling thing with him. I did look at his teeth. I didn't look at his teeth for very long, so I'm going to do it again. He seems to have something to me that's going on with his gum. But it could be just the way of the angle that I was looking at it. But I want to get all the way through and do a hug to see how he does with a hug. It would be interesting to see. I don't think we've got a ball with us. But it would be interesting to see how he was with. I wonder if there's a ball in my car.
I think they have one here.
What else
has
the parking lot?
That would be lovely. Could you get that? That'd be great. Because I would like to see these dogs have a tendency to be object oriented, although they're not always. He very evidently saw what was going on there.
Also, like you guys, Kelly just brought up a really good point. If you work in a shelter, everybody's going to bypass our little strong pity there because there's a pity next door and there's a pity next door and there's a chihuahua and there's a pity and there's a chihuahua. And they're going to look at this one and they're going to, I want that one.
Yeah.
And if they have, so far, we don't know if they have toddlers or, a very large family of young children that might not be the best bed and stuff. So sometimes they're just gravitating toward dogs based on their looks. And it's a really bad, bad thing. People with chihuahuas and stuff, they just walk by and don't even look at them because they think they're all the same. I can tell you they're not. But I never thought I would love a chihuahua, but I can tell you that they're also quite unique.
Good boy. You very good boy. Yes, you are. You're a super guy. You're very nice.
So he looks like he was probably with a family. I mean, he doesn't look, for being a stray, he doesn't look awful, right? Like,
well, his at least one of his teeth is broken.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You know, the other thing you have to be really careful about, you know, you've heard all the tales of kids that grew up in the ghetto and had a single parent that was a drug addict and then they become a Harvard professor or something. I mean, so you can tend to start making these generalizations, but then you have to back off. Because you don't know those.
Good. What I really like about him is he's tolerating this. He's not upset about it. His eyes are not dilating when I do anything, and at the same time he's stiff. So you can see that he's pretty worried about stuff, but he's holding himself together. And that's a really nice thing when a dog is actually kind of just holding himself together. Can I get through this, whatever this thing may be? Is that Aspen?
Yes.
she wants to have a part of this thing. Huh? Okay, did we find a ball?
It's right here in the chair.
Such a ball.
It was the one that was in the market.
Yeah. You like balls?
It's like not that one.
You want me to get a ball? I've got balls in my
mouth. Yeah, they're being scared of.
Yeah, it kind of just like, that scared him, so I'm not sure that that's going to be. You can investigate Stead over here.
Oh,
okay, so do we want to have him? Where'd you go? Do you want to have him meet the Roddy and see what happens with the Roddy?
Sure. I was just noticing something about her. You know how she was selected to have Trish handle her back?
Yeah.
She's swollen. I think she may have some orthopedic.
I actually saw that
and,
one.
I think there may be some pain as well.
Come on.
Yeah. Did you really notice that?
She really waxed her camel with that thumb. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Now you have to check out the stud.
He looks like me.
Yeah, she's like a.
She's a nicely put together dog, though, mostly.
The other thing that I have noticed over the years is that when a dog does have some orthopedic or some physical vulnerabilities, they can tend to be a little less friendly with other dogs because they're more vulnerable.
Huh. Oh, I like food. She's way better than she was. Way, way, way better.
She's pretty indifferent. He's not. He's a little nervous about her.
Yeah, right.
She's thirsty.
There's the door. I'm going.
I need to go out.
I'm sorry about earlier. There's that whole give him some time.
Yeah. Oh, you're a good girl, huh? Are you a good girl?
That's why I am such a fan of office fostering.
Yeah.
I just think that's one of the best things you can do for dogs that are having trouble breaking out of their shell.
Hi,
Okay, establish a relationship.
All right, we'll see.
Oh, you really want to do that? Okay, so let's do some research writing with her. Well, we never finished handling it, did we? I'm just so reluctant. Yeah, she does not like having her.
No.
I think her friendliness has strings attached.
Well, she's a lot of dogs.
She's my butt.
Yeah,
I mean,
but also a lot of dogs where people have never handled their tail or their rear end or something, they do get protective of it.
And it's new.
Yeah, so.
But this is what Sue Sternberg would say.
Oh yeah, well, Sue would send her up to them.
But, I mean, she does not want to get handled. Good girl. That's it. There's a good girl. Well, the other thing about Rottweilers is that they are a protective breed, and they do require, they're one of the worst breeds to rehome, because each time they change home, they have to shift allegiances, and that's a really difficult thing for them to do. Okay, so who's starting? I'm not sure how much cheese she needs. Nobody likes these treats.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Anything at all? Okay, if you got some
feeling. She picked her head up, right?
Okay, so
I don't know if you guys watched.
Did you guys see the stiffening?
Yeah. Lifting her head.
Anytime. And the other thing was, did you see how much work she did with her hands? This is before the other thing is that's important is if you do have two people, which you should, that the person who's holding the leash is going to be on the opposite side of the person who's got the hand, because you don't want the dog to be able to go. Okay. You want to tell us how much she's biting?
She's not biting hard, and she's also saying, get the hell out of here, this is mine. She's not continuing to go for it as I stick around. She's just like, you know,
butt. And she's starting to look at you now.
Yeah, and she's looking at you with fairly, not very friendly eyes.
Yeah.
And, you know, she says, I'm trying to eat here. Get the heck out of my leg.
Yeah,
and
she's
and she's since
getting worse. She's just
got it.
You got her?
I got her.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, she's getting more and more. I mean, all I'm doing now is petting her, right? And she's now like.
Now she's very threatened. No,
you're not worried that she might just redirect on you.
Not particularly.
Okay, so it's always focused on the one that.
Always. The most. Sorry, you want to take the.
And now she doesn't like me at all.
Yeah. Are we gonna just let her have it?
Oh sure. Oh, you want to take her back?
I was gonna actually move her away.
Oh. Come on.
And then you can clean it all up, honey. Okay. There you go. It's all yours. So now, can you see why I was worried about her?
Yes.
So, and the thing is, it's almost, it's not instinct. It's just the responses that you might have had over the years that tell you this is something that is giving you the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
But I mean, these are really bad treats, so she can have all of them.
Nobody's gonna take them. She thinks they're good.
So the thing about not wanting to be handled, it was a controlling issue. It was I want to control.
And her sitting on my foot was too.
Yeah.
And she did it twice.
Well, she just sat on her foot.
She sits on my foot. It's like saying, you can't do that. I'm controlling you. You're not controlling me. It seems to be a very definite opinion.
Versus I'm nervous, I'm backing into as well.
Yeah, there's a big difference. He did the same thing, but he did it because he's nervous.
Yeah, I thought.
Yeah.
Do you think she's worried about you being right there behind her?
Not particularly, no, because she knows already that she's very powerful. But she struck me. I mean, here's the thing. When you're doing an evaluation, you cannot kind of go, you know, they're all the same, because they're not all the same. So every time you're doing one, you're making these assessments of who are you and all that stuff. So you have to be fluid, I guess. I think I had another point here, but I can't remember what it is. But you have to be fluid. And the fact that we had three dogs here that we could actually mix and match, which is really cool. So we didn't have to finish one before we started another one. And that is, as Tricia says, the whole office foster thing is really good. Because with her, you would find out in an office foster whether or not she's intolerant of the people she's living with or she's staying with and intolerant of other people. That's a really common thing with Rottweilers. Knowing your breeds is a really common, really important. But that a lot of times they'll let one person get away with murder and they won't be able to let anybody else have any kind of ability to go, and she's going to get it all cleaned up.
I would just like to address the whole ASPCA thing about because they don't test for food possession anymore, because they say it's not replicated in the home. And I actually have read their research, and it's not very good research that they've done. The study it has a lot of holes in it. But the other thing is, how do you know it's not replicated in the home? Yeah, maybe they've taken to feeding the dog in the laundry room and leaving the dog alone and stuff. But that can start, and because Trish felt nervous about this dog initially, there's sort of a whole picture that we're looking at here as far as her controlling nature and her intolerance to things and stuff. And the fact that I didn't even see the possession until I got my hand down there pretty close and I was being persistent, and then she said, yeah, I'm gonna get you. And that's when I brought the hand out. But so she tolerates up to a point, and then she says, enough already. I'm not gonna let you do this. So and she weighs, you know, 100 pounds of me. So
now,
you know, 95 pounds. and size really is a factor. You know, if you were getting that from one of these little dogs, and by the way, when you live with dogs that have none of this, that, you know, you can walk up to them when they're eating a freaking sirloin steak or whatever, and they say, okay, you can have it. It's just a whole different world than when you have to tiptoe around your dog.
Yep.
So the purpose of evaluations is to recommend adoptability or not?
Well, it's adoptability, and if you're lucky and you're in a shelter that does have the ability to make good matches, to say this is a dog that is not going to be good for a family with children, this is a family that is not going to be good with older people, this is a fat dog that has to go with a lesbian household, you know, because it's scared of all men, you know, and
or so, only dog household,
or only dog household, or whatever. So you're trying to actually get the idea about where this dog should go to in the future. And then you also decide on adoptability. Is this dog adoptable, or should this dog be put to sleep because it's a potentially dangerous dog?
So what would you,
well, I'm going to ask you. Mm-hmm. So what do you guys think, for okay, we're gonna go through some of this stuff, right? Affiliation, which is how friendly. So she wasn't friendly with me, was she? She did get friendly with you after a while. Was she pretty checking in with you and stuff like that? Okay, so we have some affiliation, probably not very good stranger affiliation, I would say, right? Okay, that's one thing.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you typically bring in a man to see if they actually...
If you have one, there's not many men around. I mean, in the shelter world, there's more women than there are men. So, you know, if you can, you bring a man, absolutely.
There are are things, by the way, and this is what I was saying last week, that you have to do this as an ongoing, it's not a one day, you're doing an assessment and you're done. You have to continue. So we have found out accidentally how dogs respond to people in uniform, because we didn't have a uniformed person in the assessment. And then all of a sudden, one of the uniformed people walks by, or UPS guy walks by or something, and we realize, oh my God, this dog hates people in uniform. So then you have to, you know, rethink and stuff.
So to continue, okay, we've got, the affiliation was less than perfect. She's somewhat aloof. She's.
Well, I would suggest that Lorena thinks she was really affiliated with you, right? Yeah.
Time, maybe she just needs time and to get used to a person.
Well, okay, Lorena, when she was affiliated, did you handle her? Did you look at her teeth? Did you hug her?
I love when I do that.
Pardon?
I haven't done any of them.
You haven't done any. So the affiliation was when you were out with her, or when you were just hanging out.
And she does ask for some attention.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Well, yeah, and she
but
actually was better with
part of her controlling nature.
Yeah. Right. But she does not like handling. I can
no.
tell you.
Right.
She does not want me to. She doesn't mind it. Actually, I could look at her teeth. That didn't bother her. But anything around her back legs or front legs. And certainly anything over her back, she was not that keen on. And I didn't push it because I really like to keep my neck intact and all that kind of stuff, you know. So I didn't push it, and somebody else might push it and find that the dog is really okay. But want some more water to
she doesn't like me anymore, and if I come and take off this shit.
Yeah, yeah. Or move the dog.
Well, kind of better be safe than sorry, you know.
Yeah.
So handling, which goes right along with affiliation, she was less than perfect. I'm not saying that she was impossible to handle, because I don't think she was. I just think that she is not the best dog for a stranger to handle.
Right.
So, but here you are, you're in a shelter. In the case of Oakland, it's a shelter that always has too many dogs. And there's probably always a lot of dogs up for adoption, and they have limited adoption hours. So when you now put yourself into this position where you have, you're working for a shelter that has, the resources are low in this particular shelter. Now, Miranda, the resources are higher. But there's also a
see my gut.
Okay, so
that's all right. I don't blame you.
Yeah, because she actually gave you that evil eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did. And also, I mean, really, you guys, I mean, I had someone in the room with me, and she screamed and left the room while I'm saying, get the couch pole. And she screamed and ran.
Left and ran away.
That's when I
did not come back.
That's extra strong.
We got to train these people on the couch pole.
Maybe that's why we have three in the room now.
Huh?
Maybe that's why we have three in the room now.
Well, three in the room with the Rottweiler would be good, but essentially this was a situation where somebody had surrendered a dog, handed the dog to you.
It was on a muzzle because the dog was surrendered for euthanasia because it was aggressive.
Right.
But he got the muzzle out and the euthanasia.
Yeah. So, this is the other
thing. Take the water.
Of course. No problem. She's going, but you're doing something with my water. he drinks really interestingly.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good call. So handling was kind of iffy. Dog is iffy, but probably okay. We're from what you said, you thought that she was avoided, right?
She checks in with the handler. She's not the most comfortable having dogs to sniff her. She's comfortable approaching dogs, less than necessarily having dogs.
So she, again, is intolerant.
Space.
I don't want another dog to come up to me. I can go up to them. That kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then for resource guarding, we had, would you call that severe resource guarding? I would call it severe.
What's Nate's next step up from severe would be the stream.
Yeah. Like when punctured.
I mean,
the time when the Great Pyrenees went for Trisha's neck when I was having
that was pretty extreme. That was probably that's one of those very scary moments. But anyway, so now you go, okay, how much does resource of guardian count in the behavior evaluation? You know, how much do you make it count? Well, I know that when I was at Marine Humane Society, this would have been a fail. And we would have euthanized the dog, and the reason is because she is large, powerful, and opinionated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so there. This is like, we cannot take chances with our owners.
Would you contact a Ronnie rescue?
Although we did used to do that. But
yeah, actually there is a Ronnie rescue up near Davis that she's really old school. She actually helps train police dogs and stuff, and I probably would have been fine contacting her and letting her know what she might be facing because she thinks she can do wonders with dogs, and maybe she can. I don't know.
And she's open to euthanizing dogs too.
So if you have somebody like that, then that's fine. But they have to have an opening. But right off the bat, I would say that you wouldn't go for you'd only go for a breed rescue for sure. And only somebody who really knows what they're doing with breed rescue.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of all breed rescues that are actually more or less run by people who just have humongous hearts, but not a whole lot of knowledge. And for this kind of behavior, you need somebody who really knows what they're talking about. And as I said earlier, with Rottweilers, lots and lots of Rottweilers have resource guarding issues. And it seems to go along with that feeling of confidence, like I own everything anyway now. So why?
If I was to venture, because nowadays when Marine Humane Society, because their ED is a big fan of ASPCA, they say this dog has resource guarding and we're putting it up for adoption and recommending no kids and stuff. So I would venture to say that this dog would probably go up for adoption if that's right.
Okay.
I'm just guessing.
And then there's it'd definitely be a retest, but we've let a couple go recently.
Yeah.
You know, because she gave the warning. So that's what Will's
right.
She gave some warning.
So but that might be she might pass because of that.
That's interesting. And then it escalates from there.
Yeah, I mean she grew more and more.
Yes.
But would
definitely
you would
no
you
kids.
Yeah.
Would you
okay,
then
so
test?
Here's a really interesting thing. All right, so you say this dog has got issues, no children. What happens with grandchildren?
Yeah.
What happens with people in the kids in the neighborhood? You know, it's kind of like that joke about the lesbian community. There is no place where there is not a lot of different kinds of people. So if you have a dog that really doesn't like men and you say, well, a woman should adopt it, does that mean the woman only has women friends?
Right.
And never sees any guys?
Or brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or other members of the family. So you have to be.
Or grandchildren.
And in this case, and I guess I'm putting myself out on a limb, but in this case, with her, my feeling is that she is so intrinsically powerful that I would not be comfortable. She would be one that I'd want to send to another state. Well, because I certainly don't want her living next door to me. How do you guys feel about that? You know? And can you see her getting something, like maybe there's a dead squirrel in the middle of the road and you're trying to get that out of her mouth or whatever, and somebody is, you know, that would be...
So that's the other question. Once you see this type of resource guarding, do you then test for other types, or do you... I don't want to make an assumption.
Do
you want to
find out whether or not it's with paper and stuff like that?
Yeah, would you say, oh, is it bones or is it? Because, you know, I had a dog that was mostly bones, a little bit of food, but bones are a huge thing. So, okay, no bones. And then there's not a lot of issues. But would you test for other guarding?
Usually, we tested for that. We did not test for the pig's ear.
Right.
Okay? Normally, you would test for that, a bone, and a pig's ear.
Okay.
So you would try to test for two to three things. The thing is, a dog like... this guy, like Raccoon, like over there.
Rocky.
He does he have a name, by the way?
Yes, one of our vet staff called him Werewolf.
Werewolf. I like Rocky better.
Yeah, I like Rocky better.
Now I forgot what I was going to say.
About testing the resource guarding. a different thing.
Well, we didn't test dog resource guarding, which is always a fascinating thing to test for.
But would they do that, or is it just like she's a resource guarder? That's it.
Guarding it from people is a whole different thing than guarding dogs.
Okay, so you would test it.
They're totally separate.
Okay.
And the guarding from other dogs is so many people have multiple dog households now that it's pretty relevant because then they end up fighting the home.
Yeah.
So then you would also test for. Well, at this point, she's failed the test, so you wouldn't have gone.
Well, that's in my opinion.
Yeah.
I am not the person who is at that particular shelter. I don't have it. This is just my opinion as somebody who actually goes out and consults with people. And when you see a dog like this, you go, "Why did anybody ever adopt you this dog?" You know. So, but that's my opinion. And yeah.
Do you think if someone were to adopt her, is there like a resource guarding protocol you would try and use to
if she were owned, okay. So all right, so in a shelter you can do a resource guarding protocol and you're probably if you can get a nice quiet place you're probably gonna make some steps forward with it. I don't know that it would transfer to a new home. Okay, but then if you got it into the new home and you're actually going to start doing some protocols, then you would probably replicate that and start working with those protocols, whatever they might be. There's a variety of different kinds of protocols that you could use for this kind of stuff. And for sure, if she was going out for adoption, you would say, you know, put her in another room when she eats, don't interrupt her, you know, you don't try to work on it right away. But one of the things that I had one client in the not too distant past who had tried to work on resource guarding from the time they got the dog, and what was happening is they actually made the dog worse rather than better because feeding time became exhausting for everybody and highly tense. So I don't know that I would work on it there. I might work on it in other kind of other areas. You know, just do some training.
The other thing, I don't know if you remember the short video she showed last week of the owner with the Aussie that was on a tie down and she was working on the resource. That dog had really severe resource guarding. She also had a super super committed owner that came and worked and worked and worked and worked with the dog. Most owners aren't good.
But she was afraid of her dog.
She was afraid of the dog. And
justified. Yeah.
Okay. Do you want them to work on bonding first too? Like,
well, yes, absolutely. And bonding and love structure. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots of structure so the dog knew what the rules were in the house and then you would probably work on it. But you probably wouldn't necessarily work on it right away. And the other thing is that, and as we spoke about last week, if you work too much in a shelter on something, and the dog gets really good in the shelter, and the people who come in and adopt don't see the behavior problem at all, then they may not think it exists, and so they don't even begin to work on it. And there is also, I remember one particular case, and it was with a Rottweiler, that we did the test on the dog, and the dog, we tested the dog, and the dog came out as kind of intolerant, very much like this, except for much worse, actually. So very intolerant, highly resource guarding, dog-dog aggression, and we were not gonna put the dog up for adoption. And the finder, who had had the dog for like 2 days, if that, we told her. And she said, I want to come and get the dog. So I met her in the dog training pavilion at the shelter. And she walked in there. This is a dog that we wouldn't hug because it was, we just were a little bit too nervous. She ran in the pavilion, threw her arms around the dog, and started nuzzling him. And we're all going, and nothing happened.
Oh.
He was just fine. And she took the dog, and I never heard from her again, so I'm assuming it was an accident. So, you know, I mean, the fact that we're pretty careful about doing it might tell the dog, this person is, you know, iffy, and they don't know what to do. So, you know, and I don't know what happened.
On the other hand, we have released dogs to people with waivers who have insisted that we don't want to put this dog up for adoption, but we're going to adopt it, and we make them sign a waiver saying we're going to take all responsibility, we don't hold her in. And then we hear that a month later they've surrendered it to another shelter. Because sure enough, the behavior showed up.
Yeah, and unfortunately, behavior is not. Nobody can predict it 100%. It's just nobody. So, and if there is one person, it's just one person in a country of several hundred million. So, you know, not that many. And there was another question. Yeah.
I was just saying, if it's food, it's actually probably even more of a problem because you have to feed the dog. Whereas it's like treats or high value treats or toolies or something else, in theory, you could live in a household with a dog without toys.
Well, actually, you bring up a good point. If it's one or the other, whatever,
right,
you're probably kind of okay. If it's both,
yeah,
then you really have a problem. Or if it's, did you just notice that he's over there?
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute.
Or if it's, God forbid, if it's three or four things. If it's three or four things, there is no question in my mind at all,
yeah,
you cannot put that dog up for adoption. Yeah.
Do you take into account with the food guarding whether the dog came in as a stray or a surrender? And the reason I ask that is many times the strays have been out on the streets where food guarding is actually a very useful
thing.
Really. Yeah, well, yeah.
And so anyway, you know.
So what happens if you take that into account and say, oh yeah, this dog has been out on the streets trying to live, you know, a decent life and take care of itself, and then you adopt it out to a family, and she still decides to do it in the family, that doesn't save them a trip to the ER.
Right.
I guess part of my question is,
does it go away?
The answer, there's no way, right, to know whether that was just adaptive.
Yes, there. You can usually tell if you're in the shelter, you either free feed or give the dog too much.
Hey,
you can often they stop, but you can actually tell to a certain extent.
Yeah, I don't like them staring at each other.
Yeah. Hey, you guys. Hey, Curly. Good girl. Over here. I actually wanted to see if they would do what they did, and they did when they were doing that. Okay, so another question?
I have a question. Yeah, maybe this is from Lorraine or you guys, but in a day of testing dogs, is it uncommon to see that level of food guarding? Like, do you see it in a lot of dogs, or is it from there?
I see a lot of Roddies for sure.
Yeah, the Roddies is just normal.
Yeah.
But overall, it's not that common.
If it is normal for the breed.
If it's normal for the breed, oh, you bring
that's
it.
Just,
if it's normal for the breed, does that mean you say, okay, this is normal for the breed, therefore we'll adopt a dog out? If you are a shelter and you have a whole bunch of different kinds of breeds, you cannot, I don't think, you can make allowances for breed-specific behavior.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay? So it is very common, it is actually normal for pit bulls to be dog aggressive. That's a normal characteristic of pit bulls. Does it mean that you put up all dogs with put up all pit bulls that are dog aggressive? You might put up some because they may not be particularly strong or whatever, but it doesn't mean it's an okay thing. Just because, the world is filled with alcoholics doesn't mean an alcoholic is an okay thing. So, do you see what I mean? I mean, it's just because it is normal doesn't mean huskies have a tendency to run away. If you place a husky in a family that doesn't know that huskies run away, guess what you're going to have?
A runaway
husky.
By the way, just the nomenclature, I would say that it's not normal. I would say it's common.
Yeah.
But there are an awful Roddies that aren't going to bite you.
That's true.
So, I mean, let's try to lean in that direction. Why give them a worse reputation by putting them out there and
stereotype?
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. Is that just because something is normal doesn't mean we shouldn't be trying to work away from that.
Right.
Try to make it not normal. Yeah.
And I think it's important in the shelter system to think about what your average adopter is like, what they can handle, what they're not experiencing.
They don't sit here for 3 hours.
Okay with them.
Yeah.
Don't expect a whole lot from them because a lot of them.
So
a lot of
what do you
really
look for dogs like this in an adopter?
We don't usually. They usually either
re-rescue
or, if it's severe enough, there are other issues, then there's euthanasia too.
Okay, and then here's the other scenario that comes up. You call breed rescue, and they come, and they we used to call German Shepherd rescue all the time because there's so many German Shepherds in the shelter, and they don't do well in the shelter. And they would come, and they evaluate the dog, and they'd say, no thanks, we can't take that on. And they leave it with the open door shelter, or maybe a limited intake shelter who comes and cherry picks and takes all the puppies and the cute little ones. If they're leaving it with you, then they've already, and a lot of rescues, if there's even any bite history, they will not even, you know.
They don't think.
They won't even take a look. So they're coming in and saying, we'll take this cute little fluffy one, and we'll take that puppy and then they go, but we're not going to take that one because he's a biter. And then you're stuck with it. And so,
And then they know it's there.
Right.
And so they may even watch it.
The rescue?
Yeah, the rescue. Sometimes they'll post your dog on their.
Oh, on their courtesy posting, yeah.
Yeah, that they're not taking the dog, but they won't post the dog anywhere on their website.
But if your breed specific rescue won't take a dog that needs to go to breed specific rescue, your hands are.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
So you said angels, what happens?
It used to be a long time ago that the animal care director at Marin Humane Society said, oh, no, I would never send a dog to breed specific rescue because they can't do a better job than we can, but they can. They can and they should. You know, if you've got a flock guard, they're very, they have very specific needs.
Yeah.
And so do many other dogs, and so it actually is great to have a breed.
And actually, well, the Great Pyrenees Rescue is one of those that says if he's got any bite history, I'm not even going to look at him.
But the people looking for the specific breeds, it would give the dog a chance.
Yes, because and they should be educated as well.
Be experienced too, ideally.
Yeah.
With that breed.
Yeah.
Can I just touch? I do marketing for Open Door Shelter at Oakland. And one of the things that's really important that we try to drive home with our team is that when people come to a shelter to adopt a dog, you want them to have a great experience and go tell everyone about the great experience they had, not only with your customer service, but with the animal they brought home. If they have a bad experience, it's marketing 101. They're gonna tell way more people about their bad experience than their good experience. And so we owe it to the entire sheltering community to put the best dogs on our adoption floor and for our pit bulls to be breed advocates. If a pit bull's aggressive, we're not putting it towards humans or other dogs, we're not putting it on our adoption floor. We want to put out breed ambassadors. So that's another small, when you're, just take away the dog behavior in general, it's just the marketing of sheltering animals and what you can find in a shelter. And if you did want a Rottweiler, you know, and you were really bent on getting a Rottweiler, go to the breed specific rescues and make more space for them to help us with those specific dogs when we need the help. And we have no problem sending people to those groups because then it also makes space for our next dog.
Yeah, dog. Yeah. Yeah. We talked about that
last week too. Preserving the reputation of the shelters.
Yeah, which is, and it, God knows that's very difficult to do.
The other thing that's really important to do is take a field trip to Fresno or Bakersfield and look at all the really, really, really sweet dogs that are going to be euthanized just because of the numbers.
Yeah.
And you realize, you know, yes, there is a dog in front of me and I may fall in love with this dog, but big picture, there are a whole bunch of dogs down south that are euthanized just because there's too many.
Yeah, actually, you guys are much better than a lot of the classes that we've had for evaluations because it seems that as soon as you're evaluating a particular dog, people start advocating for that particular dog. And yet, that's only one of thousands and thousands of dogs, and you do have to kind of bear that in mind. Why are you looking at him again?
She won't stop.
Mom, he's looking at me.
He actually tries to avoid it. She's just keyed on the door.
There's a good girl.
Contra Costa was on the news about maybe a year ago with a German Shepherd, and who's going to go to that shelter? You know, because the German Shepherd, there was already behavior notes by the behavior staff.
The vet would not touch that dog.
Yeah,
and they put him for adoption. And the first day the guy got home,
and it's like now that's all over the news. So not only him and his family and everybody he knows, is not going to that shelter or any shelter possibly now because of that, but now everybody knows.
Yeah.
I don't want to adopt a dog, from Contra Costa.
It could be a dangerous dog.
And that's terrible. That's terrible that person.
Well,
had that
okay, so which brings up another topic entirely, which is that every single shelter, every single open door shelter, or what they call a kill shelter, has usually some groups that are trying to get them to go no kill, and that will try to take the dogs that they have failed and to say that these dogs deserve to be. And they, again, it's filled with nice people whose heart is in the right place, but who are not able to see the big picture at all. And I think that's what happens. And it is, if only they knew how it would be so much better to kind of work it from a different angle. Like, you know, let us help you take these dogs that, you know, take the dogs out, be pet pals or dog walkers or whatever, so that they could help internally, as opposed to trying to change things externally and to pretend that all dogs are golden retrievers and Labrador retrievers with no problems. And earlier today we saw that video with the Labrador retriever. There was a problem, so you know they're problem behavior.
And as far as some shelters too, a lot of, or some of the adoptions will be of dogs that need to get out, like their time is running out. So there's something going on already. There's a reason for that, and then people will come flocking. And maybe adopt a dog that's not necessarily a good fit or good with other animals or for their situation, just because they, you know, they get that gut feeling or that.
On the same.
Yeah, they're, yeah, exactly.
Tomorrow,
yeah.
And then, you know, that doesn't always go well.
You can actually take this back to the philosophy that you study in college with John Stuart Mill, the greater good for the greater number. Because again, if we put a lot of energy into this one, there are hundreds of other dogs that are being put to sleep just because they're surplus.
Yeah.
And so, and there are people that say, I don't care, I threw a crab into the water and I saved that one crab's life and stuff. And you can have that different philosophy.
Starfish.
What was that?
Lobster.
So you can have various philosophies. And I go with the let's save as many as we can, as opposed to putting all the resources in the one.
Yeah.
And other people might say, no, this is the one that's in front of you. Let's try to save this one. Okay, but then what in the future, when it bites a kid or whatever, what is that going to do to all the other ones that are waiting, you know, for the euthanasia?
Right, and which brings it to your point. Those people will never adopt again. Mm-hmm. In fact, they may never adopt another dog. They'd be there, and their children may not be.
Their children may grow up scared of dogs.
Yeah.
And I've met kids that are definitely scared of dogs because they've been bitten.
Yeah.
So as far as like rescues coming pulling from shelters and stuff, do they? Yeah, I not knowing. Do they ever leave space for them to do evaluations or different things? I mean, my own nonprofit. Rescue, and I want to pull dogs from prisoner shelter.
Well, there's a
yes,
absolutely.
Yeah, we have a room at our shelter. You are more than welcome to
come.
But
the rescue is coming.
Oh yeah. The rescue.
Okay, one at a time, if we could.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, we have a room, and our partners will come use that room to evaluate the dogs. We have no part of it at all. They have their own system and their own testing, whatever they do.
Yeah.
They're not gonna
take a dog blindly. They want to evaluate.
They come with their hands.
I think there are some that actually do. There are good rescues and not so good rescues.
If it's a Cavalier King Charles that shows up once a year in a shelter, then yeah, they'll probably
just take it because it's there. But one of the issues that we have with these dogs is that there are some legitimate rescues that do well with these big, powerful dogs. And then there are some that just think that they are picked on. And so they want to come and save all pit bulls because they think this is a perception problem rather than a problem in reality.
And they're persecuted.
Yeah. And so they are, and what's interesting to me is that there are so many people who are into the pit bull rescue thing who are not actually capable of handling pit bulls because they're big, powerful dogs. They are dogs that require a great deal of management skills and training skills. And there are some people who are really, really good with it, and there are a lot of people who not necessarily are, but who believe that they're the underdog, that they need this special chance and all that. I mean, I read not too long ago, and I actually totally think it's true, that when you lose a pet, when you lose a dog, particularly a dog, it is harder on you than losing a family member. In fact, of course, because they are a family member. But it's harder than losing a human family member. And one of the reasons is that for that is because we give, it's not that they love us unconditionally, it's that we love them unconditionally. And so when we lose them, it's losing a part of ourselves. And I think that that is anything having to do with animals then is reflective of that. They tug at our heartstrings, whatever it is,
heartstrings.
Parasites. Crabs.
Yeah. They tug at our hearts regardless, right? And they are, and people get, we get passionate about them. I cannot watch a movie about dogs without crying.
Oh,
I'm sorry, it just, any movie. Even on TV, a news story, and I start to cry when I'm watching something about dogs. So our emotions are so, you know, on edge always when it comes to dogs that no wonder we have so much controversy around evaluations, around decisions that are, can be not very popular within and without the shelter. You know, and that's one reason why compassion fatigue, you know, seminars are a really good thing. You guys have them there?
I contracted someone a year ago. We need to get her back in, or someone back in. Yeah. But it's that was one of the things I was gonna say, that I can tell Lorena likes the Roddy, and you know, she's one of the people that then has to say, like, we can't put her up for adoption, and to know that she already feels, you know, you get bonded to some of these dogs, and the toll it takes on the staff that goes very unrecognized by people that are critical of
there are some people actually think that people like to, that's a kill shelter, they must enjoy that.
There are actually two dogs in my history that I made a decision on that, and they just, the years ago, that it still haunts me because I wish I had them. Mm-hmm. But they were biting everybody except me.
Just like the dog Charlie at San Francisco Animal Care Control, that was like maybe 5-6 years ago. There were those people, and you know, the volunteers, a few of them, and this dog had kind of, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Charlie, San Francisco.
Why don't you tell, because
he was a pit bull. He was off leash at a beach in San Francisco and attacked a horse, actually leapt up to the horses, I'm not familiar with horses, but
the
shoulder here, yeah, and ripped a chunk. The police officer fell off the horse, he injured himself. The horse took off back to the stable. This dog chased it all the way back to the stable, which was like over a mile, I believe. So the dog came in, and that was not the first time the dog had come in to our shelter. I worked there at the time. And the owner, of course, you know, loves his dog. You know, I get it, you know, completely. You know, wants the best for his dog. The vicious and dangerous dog unit said this dog is deemed, you know, vicious and dangerous and it's to be put to sleep. And the owner got a lawyer and they had agreed that the dog would go to a third unbiased person at UC Davis. And so I brought the dog there. And the dog did not like anyone in uniform at all. Of course, I wasn't told this, you know, at the time when I was getting the dog out.
Were you in uniform?
Yes. Yeah, I had my little, you know, leash ready to go. And I was told the dog was dog aggressive. There's a little miscommunication. Dog kicking out. And no matter what, you know, I still would talk to the dog and, you know, softly throw the dog treats, you know, this, that, you know, the same thing usual, you know, no, wasn't having it. So yeah, catch pull, put the dog in the vehicle. The entire time of the behavior exam at UC Davis, the dog it started out with one leash around it and hooked to the wall.
and it was gnawing at it to get to me on across the room, and I'm still throwing it treats, you know, in the behaviors. I'm like, yeah, I already tried that, you know, I've been doing that, you know, no, you know, but I'll continue, you know, of course. And three leashes, you know, and it's still gnawing at that leash to get to me, you know, and I'm just, you know, totally avoiding, you know, doing everything, you know. A vet tech came in, that dog wanted, you know, and these volunteers, you know, they just.
Didn't they start a petition to get rid of
him? Yeah, and like there were, yeah, the people were starting to threaten that they were going to break in and break Charlie out, and good luck, he probably maul you. but I mean, it was just, you know, because, you know, these volunteers, some of them, they don't see the big, huge picture. Like, yep. You're going to put this dog back out there after this, like, you know, and of course I had the behavior there to, you know, explain things, so, you know, but, you know, wrote a report and everything, and I think the volunteers had, you know, access to it if they asked, you know, and they just, like, couldn't, it was hard for me to understand how could they not fathom that this dog was not okay to be put back out there, you know, and that the dog, you know, not only did it do this to the horse, you know, but it followed that horse for over a mile to continue, you know, and that, you know, it did not like people in uniform, anybody in uniform. Nobody could touch the dog.
I think what you're saying is a thing that we brought up last week. People do not actually believe that something happened unless they see it. They have to see it themselves and experience it themselves. And if if they see it on a YouTube video, that's seeing it. They're, you know, that will do. But if otherwise, they're, you know, I've always said that if dogs didn't have lips, we wouldn't have pets. If they walked around showing us their canines all the time, we would think that they're evil animals because they've got these big canines, these predatory teeth. But people don't understand that, you know, there are 2, 3, 4 sides to an animal, that they are complex animals, and they are not, just because he wags his tail sometimes doesn't mean that he can't be horrible the next moment.
Some of this also, I don't know if you know, nowadays books on dogs sell like hotcakes, and a lot of people are writing about dogs and their dog movies and stuff. I mean, it's a big thing now. And we've sort of given them sainthood, and we are totally, totally so emotionally tied up with them. I mean, if that pity had picked up my little chihuahua, you would have seen a whole different person. but we do have this total emotional attachment, and we've determined that they're saints. And so that people can't see that they also are very powerful predators and possibly a little bit, you know,
misguided. They did see pictures. They did see, you know what I mean? It's just like, obviously, they should be in that environment. You know what I mean? Like, that's not for them, you know? But yeah, it's, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, what was the end of Charlie?
He ended up going to a sanctuary. So he's alive, and the guy came up to get him, and the dog was totally fine with this guy, and he went to the sanctuary.
Did they have a uniform on?
Nope, no uniform.
Definitely not.
So it's in the sanctuary, we didn't have any horses on the premises.
Yeah, definitely not any horses.
So what do you think our future is?
What do I think our future is? I don't know, I don't work for the shelter.
I know.
So, you know.
What was the question?
What do you think
her future is?
I think she'll be
Because she's... That was pretty powerful.
It's like you don't believe until you see it. I mean, to me, she looked pretty happy, a little nervous in the beginning, then she calmed down. But when you put your hand, and you were putting your, for someone who was scared of her, you were really up in her head.
I got to know her a little bit, and I had no fear of her. I just said that's my initial thing on the Roddy, but then when I get to know them, and they're fine, that's fine. And I didn't have any fear of her.
But then I still was so surprised how she went that.
Isn't it amazing?
Yes.
It's called the hidden behavior problem because of that.
And you can't read them at all.
No, they're hard to read.
And we have one coming.
And she also showed the same things that Roddy's often show, which is nothing, 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 something.
Yeah.
She did the freeze.
She did the freeze.
Yeah, she kept lifting her hair.
But it was if you've seen a husky, the husky would have been freezing from the time she put her hand on her butt.
Yeah.
She'd be going like, don't even think it. No, don't think about it. Patricia's hand was all the way down on her nose.
Was she stiff? Was her body stiff when you were doing that? I mean, could you feel her tense up?
She was so interested in the food that she wasn't really all that aware of me initially, and then she was like
on your head.
And then actually, I mean, even after I kept pestering her, and then I was just petting her on the back. She then was like, I really hate you now, and you got to me.
You have gotten in my way.
Then can I just qualify what I said, because I said it very bluntly, and actually, like, hurt my heart.
Oh, I know.
So what will happen, just so you know, is we do the test, we will reach out to our Roddy Rescue. She probably won't be able to take her because she also probably has some medical stuff going on.
Yeah.
She's probably a little older. We get a lot of Roddies. We get some younger Roddies. They may have behavior issues, but that this one's pretty severe. Plus, you know, the big picture, our partners will evaluate her. They will pass. She may sit there a while we try to do the best we can. It was my job at my last shelter to decide who went to adoption partners and who didn't. Another thing that I thought about, and it was my full-time job, was one of the things is the dogs will sometimes deteriorate in the kennels at the shelter, and that's when we really network them. But I wouldn't let them go to a group that had kennels. So I wouldn't want the dog to leave a kenneling situation where they weren't doing well to go to another kenneling situation just because we were saving their life. Because that wasn't really a life that I would think that dog would want to live. And the thing that's changed for me since I've been working in this field is I have a 3 and a 5-year-old. I don't want that dog living next door to me.
Nope.
I don't want that dog living next door to my 40-pound dog. And as sweet as she was with me, and I liked her, she was fine, but that behavior was scary to me. I was actually not watching some of it because I had to turn away because I saw it coming, and I know she doesn't like Rottweilers, and I was like, oh my gosh.
I mean, that was like her having treats for the first time.
Oh yeah, we'll do her.
I wouldn't
reevaluate this either because you're really seeing. I mean, she's very comfortable.
She's got a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
And she's willing to use it.
So we also have to keep our staff safe.
And by the way, probably in the few hours that we've been here, Oakland has probably taken in another dozen dogs.
Easily.
So that's the thing.
What's sad is there's a lot of rides out there like that with families.
Yeah.
With people.
What Trisha said earlier is really true. When you're evaluating, dogs go to a shelter for a reason. Right? They're there. I mean, there are some that are stray, but they very rarely do they kind of pop out of nowhere. It's not like we have street dogs. We don't have every street dog. So if somebody doesn't want to come and get their dog, there's already something wrong with the relationship between the owner and the dog. They didn't bond to the dog. It could be that the dog was not good at that. And a lot of times it's just the people didn't commit to the dog, and the dog goes out stray, and so they come home now. That actually is already telling you something. The fact that somebody surrenders a dog already tells you something. There are people that must, because they cannot find housing that does not, that allows dogs. But a lot of people kind of go, well, I can't find a house. They don't look very hard.
Right.
Or they suddenly develop allergies. And, you know, those allergies that they have developed usually have to do with the behavior of the dog.
Yeah.
They're allergic to it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So those are things that... So you're already in a shelter environment. You're not getting the creme de la creme of dogs. You know, it's not like you're getting the dogs that live next door to you or your own dog or whatever. So your pool is not that the highest. And then out of those, there are going to be some that have some really very, very bad behavior problems. And we shouldn't be surprised. And we shouldn't judge all other dogs based on that either. You know, because again, it's like I said, I see dogs with problems. So I end up thinking that healers have issues because I see a lot of healers with issues or whatever. Yeah. So you know, that's part of that.
So I do want to say though, to her point about it's not just the dog and it's not just you. So if you like, we had a dog that was dangerous and we knew if that dog got out and went across the street, it could kill a child. So it's not, are you going to live by yourself on a hill and you're not going to ever see another person or another dog or an animal or anything? I mean, there's a community to think about too.
Yes, but then again, that some people do and some people don't. Yeah.
But that is part of the thing about people who say,
save them.
I love dogs because I can't stand humans or whatever. There's that whole thing.
And you know, maybe they don't care.
People get in there.
Yeah.
So,
which is, I don't want to make it sound like she would have passed. She would have been retested. But what I keep seeing, there's so much pressure now to say it's a not bad job, is that the evaluators aren't pushing. You were really pushing,
mm-hmm.
And I work with almost all of them, subbing in. Some of them won't push anymore because they don't want to be that one
say. It's amazing who will go that far. I think most of them aren't, and they don't want to see that reaction.
Well, I think, and I've actually heard from some of them that they're feeling frustrated because they will say this dog should go up for adoption, and yet it goes up for adoption. And so,
yeah.
They're feeling
yeah, I mean, in a shelter environment, there's always this push on both ends. There's the push on the kind of the knowledgeable people at and or the people who work in the kennels or in behavior or whatever to say we want to put up safe dogs, and then there's the push from the people who want to make the money that you know bring some money in to put up as many dogs as possible to get this no kill thing and or to just be known as a shelter that has a high adoption rate. And so you know there it's always the two people and the people who are pushing against each other as well.
So who makes the ultimate decision to euthanize? Is that on one person or is it?
It depends on the shelter. We had it when we were at Marin. When there were three of us that made the decision on this. Tricia was an animal care director. I was behavior training director, and the director of what was she? I can't remember. Carrie.
Customer
service or whatever. So we did it together, and we would decide. And she just essentially went along with us. Is like it kind
but
of
she
helpful.
Didn't know dog behavior.
No. So, but in some shelters, it's on one person. I know at Denver Dumb Friends League, this is actually gets really interesting because at Denver Dumb Friends League, they decided that they didn't want to have different departments fighting against each other because one department would say you shouldn't be making this decision, and they would, you know, so you'd end up with these departments that didn't like each other. And so what they would do is they, if you worked at Denver Dumb Friends League, you had to take a stint of euthanizing animals. Not just recommending it, but actually doing it. They all had to be trained in euthanasia and making the decisions. And what they did is they lost almost all their employees.
Wow.
Because nobody wanted to do that. I mean, it was you know, they're, the people who do that are doing that because they are the most hardy, wonderful souls in the entire world, and they should be making the most money, and they're not. So they were trying to diffuse who gets to make the decision. But in the end, it's kind of the buck stops there. It's that somebody has to, and in some shelters, it's the director. And one shelter, Trisha and I went to one shelter. This is actually a story worth telling because I'd forgotten about it. It was up north. And I believe it's now defunct, wasn't it? Because it got caught, but Sonoma took over it. Anyway, it was run by a board of directors, and they did not want to be putting dogs to sleep. So we went up there to evaluate some dogs that had been up for adoption for sometimes up to a year or more. So they were in the shelter itself was old and funky, really damp and whatnot. And we went there and they started bringing us in dogs. And one of the dogs, an officer could bring in because he was the only one who could touch the dog. And that was a really quick evaluation because they handed Trisha the dog. And I said, we're just gonna do it. We're just gonna do it.
You know, she didn't take the lead.
You're taller than I am. But I was gonna do the resource guarding. I said, let's just do resource guarding. So that meant that I was gonna handle the hand and she was doing the leash. And so we put a bowl of food down. I actually went close to the dog and he looked at me and I thought, I'm not gonna put my hand on this dog. And I just put the hand close in. And he went for the hand and immediately went for me. And it was like, oh shit! And then he turned around. This is the only time I've ever seen this. And he started climbing up the leash.
Oh my God.
This, and we've never seen this with a dog with resource guarding. If somebody was asking, would they redirect? I don't know, maybe you guys have, but I've never seen it. They usually ignore the person on the other end of the leash and just go for the person with the hand. And so she's standing there and the dog is going up the leash. And I'm swearing. And we're going, this is ridiculous. So the officer came and took the dog again. And I started, the board of directors was sitting in there. And I said, what the fuck do you people just think you're doing? Because they had the dog up for adoption.
And also, this dog had been there for a really long time in this really dank, awful shelter. And it's like, do you not care about the quality of life that this dog is leading? I mean, that it just you know, I don't know. Just and the officer, the dog loved the officer, but that was the only person
that
could get there.
The other opposite of the opposite of your thing. But it was, I mean, it was terrible because nobody was willing. This was the board of directors that was supposed to make the decision. In this case, nobody was willing to make the decision to put this dog down. Of the four dogs that we did, two of them needed to be euthanized immediately, and two of them, one of them needed to go to Husky Rescue, and one of them was really on the fence. So, and they, but they just weren't willing to step up to the plate and go, this needs to be done, this must be done. And I think that's the only time I've ever gotten angry with the board of directors. You know, just really, it was, I felt threatened. Trisha felt threatened.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, this was not.
Actually, there was a pole there and I wrapped the leash around that.
Wow.
That
was so it was really, really scary. But somebody has to make a decision. So went out to lunch with the person, one of the board of directors members, and she was gonna try to talk the others into making this decision. And in the end, they didn't. They found a sanctuary for the dog that had gone after both of us. So I don't know what happened to that dog after that. But it was, I mean, it was one of the scariest dogs I've ever, I think it wasn't a big dog, but it was very, very scary. I was gonna say it was a healer, but I can't.
Oh my God. No, mine's a really nice dog.
Yeah. You know, but you bring up such a good point. You know, who ends up making the decision? And how popular are you when you make that decision, you know? But you do have to make it. This is one reason why, as we said last week, when we made such a decision, if somebody second-guessed us, they were willing to come and watch us. It was fine for them to come and see us do their evaluation so that we could make sure that they understood that we were not doing this lightly because we didn't care. And I think that's something that happened. How's he doing? I wanted to finish up his test.
He's really sweet.
Very sweet.
I know he's
very, very afraid.
The problems I'm thinking that he might have is he could have some separation anxiety.
Yeah.
But he also is going to be very demanding of attention from his owners. Something and it like could that. Be he might do some owner guarding.
He might yeah. attach to like one person in the family and that's it.
Like strays.
So what, can you tell me like why you, I'm not questioning it, I'm just curious what you, when you're looking at him, how do you make that determination?
Well, I don't actually know about the one person. He'll probably attach to a family and be really attached to the family.
Okay.
But I mean, this neediness is like, you can see that. I mean, he's just super, super clingy. And when they stop petting him, he says, hey, man,
more and more.
Where'd you go?
He still wanders, he can't form a good person too. And he kind of wants to prove who's the best owner, who's going to be the best food and stuff.
He was happy as long as he was with someone, though.
He's definitely goes from person to person.
He sits on your feet, too.
Yes, well, he's probably sitting on your feet to make sure you're not going to leave him.
Right.
I mean,
as opposed to her, who just makes sure she doesn't have to look at you while she's controlling it.
Well, he'll actually put one each in the front paw, one in each foot, and just...
Because
she
well,
has the
cheese.
She don't think that he would eventually settle once he like has a bond and like feels comfortable in a household. Like how do you?
He's a cattle dog, so he'll always be real fond of you with his human. You know, he's got that very dog claim to him. It's just
I think probably he'll get comfortable in his new home and he'll love his people and he'll be okay. Mm-hmm. I mean. The fear thing, I don't know if it, the other thing that's often valuable when you're evaluating is to take them out for a walk and see how they're responding to the environment and if new things spook them and stuff, and sort of that also just gives you a little more information about them and stuff.
You take him back.
Oh, yeah. I suspect he's, I don't know. I mean, this is a dog that I would want to have somebody office foster for a while and then take him. We do. We used to do. Trisha actually came up with something for in Maine with pigs. We would have really skilled handlers take them on real world tests and take them out to the coffee shops and stuff to see how they behave. And I think this one would really.
We had a couple of volunteers who loved doing that.
Oh, that was great.
Thank you.
So he's definitely relaxed quite a bit. You want to come over and pet him from that end? He's very cute.
Yeah. Hi, handsome. How are you? Huh? How we doing? You need a bath.
He does. Yeah.
He's going on the group and
work for the rush.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't fucking have that, do you?
You're okay.
You're okay.
That's a good boy.
I'm being past it, you know.
He says, you give me this and then you start messing with me. What's wrong with you? But he's, look how close he is to me. Mm-hmm. He's like right on top of me.
He's thin.
Yeah, and so the difference is kind of... Don't let him bite my foot, okay?
Hello, handsome boy.
So this is really good.
Wow.
It's really good. It's a nice contrast, isn't it?
Yeah.
To the, you know, I mean, he really likes the pig there. He thinks it's absolutely wonderful. He's willing to take it away.
By the way, when they pick it up and leave with it, that's good, because then they're just saying, God, you're rude. I'm getting out of here with this thing.
Good boy.
Instead of attacking.
Yeah, so it's just a nice thing to see both things, because, and this is what we think of as normal, although, you know what, the other behaviors are normal too, but it's just not wanted. It's not appropriate for our homes, but it's definitely normal.
By the way, I just want to go back to something I think that Damon said about dogs that have been out on the streets and potentially undernourished. In my experience, the dogs that have exhibited most food guarding are the obese dogs. And because there's not any poor nutrition there, it's all about, I want to eat. And so you can't necessarily say that because they're underfed and stuff, that that's going to translate into guarding.
Well, that's the one, they come into the shelter too, they don't get evaluated right away. Usually they have some kind of acclimate, and then they have food available. They're no longer having to fend for it.
Right.
Yeah, although it doesn't, when we got dogs after Katrina.
Oh. Hey, boy!
We got dogs after Katrina. They an amazing number of dogs, and they just, for 3 days, lived on their own. So some of them looked like they'd been living on their own for 6 weeks, but it was like for 3 days.
On the roofs of the house.
Yeah, on the roofs of the house, and they had no food. And we still found this interesting dichotomy that the dogs that were, like the Roddy mixes, dogs like that were highly food aggressive, and the other ones were just like, give me more food! But they weren't aggressive. It was fascinating. At least a half of them had heartworm. Which was, you know.
Yeah, New Orleans, they have a big problem.
Yeah. It was, and so you have these dogs all who had come in and had not had anything to eat for a while, and you still had some of these dogs were totally willing to share or whatever, and some of them were absolutely not. And so I think that there is certainly, when dogs are starving, they're just really going to want to eat, and it would be a terrible thing to do a test on them then.
Yeah.
But once they're started to get satiated, and they'll revert to their other behavior.
Dog doesn't eat composition. He's only loving that.
I know.
Aww.
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 She's
confused.
Yeah.
You said you want to pull dogs from shelters for rescue.
Yeah.
There you go.
I know people who do.
I want this dog.
Yeah.
I just think he's adorable.
Yeah.
You can be part of it.
You only have four.
It's actually gonna be part of it.
Yeah.
You're looking for Ozzy, you might have a little Ozzy.
Yeah, well, the herding dog is the important thing, but we still have Lukey, and
yeah,
that would be...
Healers can be tempting, too.
Yeah.
We actually
may have an adopt-out for the
website,
so...
Oh, yeah.
But we have plenty more
that we can
show.
That's good sale. She is the marketer,
isn't she? But he's getting comfortable that he wants to just say hi to the...
Okay, let's try it, then.
Well, let's...
They're gonna see how.
He was just about to
grow.
Come on.
Oh, yay! Good boy!
Oh,
he's so
cute. Where did he come from?
So by the way, when you're doing dog to dog, it's important not to have high value items around because they might decide, oh, that's mine.
Nice. Okay. How's he doing? He's kind of getting better over the last.
He's relaxed. He's been inquisitive. He's going after anything interesting to put in his mouth.
And then he says, I'm going to put my big head in your lap.
Yeah.
And rule it
all.
So this dog is obviously going to be very challenging to own. What we've seen so far is just that he's going to be challenging to own. We've not seen anything that would make us think that he is a dangerous dog to own.
No.
Because
he's an experienced.
Oh, come on.
Right. Did you say he's more affiliated? I'm joking.
Yeah, he's always been more affiliated than her.
Than her,
but
yeah.
Then she's over here doing the same thing.
Yeah, she really likes Lorraine.
Yeah. Hey, what's your name?
Simba. You want to come this way?
No, I do not. This one's approaching instead of avoiding now.
Yeah.
And he's not charging.
He's not.
Okay, Marion, let's
he's
go.
Getting pet.
That was totally appropriate.
Mm-hmm. That was so he very appropriately told him back off.
Yep.
And well, there are two things that happened here. I don't know if y'all saw it.
No.
Okay. So this guy, Little Rocket here, told this guy, Simba, to back off. And the nice thing was that he was appropriate and Simba backed up.
Nice.
So that's an important thing. Because
yeah,
now
he goes,
now
me her.
Now I want the girl.
He really does love
her. He said, I don't know what you are, but I'm prejudiced against you and I don't like you.
But he's being absolutely appropriate. He's saying, hey,
right.
You know,
right.
Get up already. Get
out
of
my space.
It's okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's all right.
Okay, so
when you
put over
the dog? Oh, yeah. Dog over here. We got dog over here, too. Okay, so what else? Any other questions or comments or anything?
Thoughts. I mean, because really, I mean, this is... Like, if you guys go home thinking, oh my god, they're going to euthanize that dog that seems to be very nice, I mean, is anybody like trying
to? I already asked, and she said no.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to say, but if you don't want anything.
Yes.
Have any of these guys been tested yet?
No, they've all been dog.
Yeah.
They all passed their dog. None of them have not been here yet.
So you do it through today, will that help?
I mean, this one, Phil, this one, the thing that most people haven't seen, I've worked with this guy, he's been on the shelter maybe 2 months. He doesn't kennel very well. He's very anxious in his kennel.
Yeah.
High-pitched barking, throws his water a lot, all the time. So he doesn't kennel very well.
And that has to be taken into account constantly because people that are coming in to adopt are going to walk right past him and say, I don't want that dog.
Yeah.
And then he stays and stays and stays and stays and gets worse and worse and worse. And so that has to be taken into account.
Do you have kennels that are less inclined to make the dog crazy, or are they all pretty much?
We do. It's a dog that is in that we'll give him a full run or like two-sided run or at an area that's quiet. But he's actually given that run and he still does the same. Like he's shredding things. He just doesn't kennel well, is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is one of the most unfair things, and I said it to Jamie the other day about these homeless dogs. They end up in this horrible environment, and they actually have to cope with that between getting in there and getting adopted. And if they can't cope, then they're not going to get adopted. They stay longer and longer, and they go downhill faster and faster. And I said, if I ended up homeless or imprisoned, I'd just quit. I'd just say, I'm done. And some of them do that, and some of them can't cope. So.
Okay, so next week, then we want three more dogs if we can do that? Okay. If somebody, I know I've said this wasn't going to happen, but if somebody would like to do some of the handling, I'd be happy to share it as long as you sign a waiver saying that if you get bitten, it's not my fault. There's a little bit more PowerPoint to do, and I did want to talk a little bit about kind of other handling in homes. What you might find if you were doing an evaluation or a consultation in homes with regard to dealing with strange dogs, okay? So I'm gonna let you go a little bit early. We didn't take a break, and we'll see you next week at noon.